And next up to bat is Bill. Bill is a father of three children and has a history of being a giant jackass. Bill has had a rough year with zero hits, but a pouting average of .355 over four seasons. A new record, ladies and gentlemen. Bill steps up to the plate. He's turning around now to wave obsessively at the umpire. Oh, now the umpire is yelling at Bill, and ladies and gentlemen, Bill looks very confused. Okay, Bill has figured out that he's playing baseball, and has now faced the pitcher. Here comes the pitch, and oh, strike one. Folks, this is a new one for us, but Bill has now thrown the bat on the ground and crossed his arms, refusing to keep playing. He is now walking back to the dugout and is blankly staring at the coach, who is ripping him a new one. I guess Bill is done for the day, folks.
Eighth grade. I am now done with the church I grew up in. My mom is at a new job, my dad is losing his mind, and my siblings have gone away to college. Suddenly, I have to ride the bus home. My friend group is no longer inviting me places, and my best friend is bullying me. Going to school is my least favorite part of the day. I'd start the day by being told I wasn't pretty or good enough to ever be a model by my best friend. Thanks for that. Then I'd meet up with my friend group, who claimed I was making things up. I'd go to class and throw myself into the assignments to forget everything that's already happened, even though friends of my bestie would tell me the awful things she's saying about me behind my back. Again, thanks. After school, I'd ride the bus until the last stop, my stop, and then let my dog out, who has not been taken care of for 4 years because my dad gave up on her. I related to that dog, alone and subjected to my father's abuse. As my schooling continued, I was invited to a friend's birthday party. My friend group was there, but when I left, they were no longer my friends. Every time I spoke, they gave me this look that teenage girls give you when they want you to know that what you're saying is completely irrelevant, irritating. When I'd meet up with them, they'd walk away. They even gave me their hot dog skewers to hold and walked away, leaving me alone with my hands full and no real way to set the skewers down. They had made it clear that I was not in their friend group. At school, I'd lost my friends and their associates, my other friends had their own groups, and my best friend was an asshole, so I'd sit by myself until it was time for class. Being 13 is probably the worst age to be. You're not a teenager, but you're too old to be a real preteen. And now, you're alone. I didn't have a new place to sit at lunch. The lunchroom was too full to find a new place to be, so I just sit with the girls who hated me. It wasn't till a month of that torture when I found a new seat at the table with my best friend. I sort of knew the people at this table and quickly became kind of their friends. My best friend did not like that. She felt like she had to compete with me, to be better than me. She started taking drugs, probably having sex, but at least becoming more physical with her many boyfriends. Starving herself, dressing more provocatively, and even copying my laugh. All this seemed more likable, cooler than me. She hated that people liked me, that guys had crushes on me, that I was pretty, like it was my fault, that in her eyes, I was better than her. One day, she even told me if I wanted to help her feel better, I should come to school with bad makeup so people would think I was ugly. Even when I got a boyfriend, which I never thought I'd do, she screamed at me saying that she was the one who had relationships, I was the single friend. Not that my relationship with this person was great or anything to revel at, but what the fuck? I started noticing that the girls who were once my friends were now whispering to each other and looking or pointing at me. I'd hear people talking about my relationship in passing and people would groan if they had to sit next to me. I didn't get it, any of it. If I did do something to deserve this, I would have liked to have known. As for my dad, something you should know is he has obsessions. They last a few years or a few months, but they're very prevalent during the time that he's obsessed with them. For a while, during my early ages as a human, he was all about gardening. Fruits and vegetables next to the back deck, flowers on the other side and all around the house, big garden in front of the front door, trees and bushes lining the front of the property, mulching every spring, mowing every weekend, picking up sticks in a very large yard, hanging plants on the deck, flowers in the windowsills inside, bushes lining the back of the property, etc., etc. He was more entertained by new things he could plant in our vast garden than anything else. After years of that, he was onto a new obsession, yogurt. I don't mean he liked eating it. I mean he would buy 13 large tubs of plain yogurt, and if he didn't eat one a day, he would have a fit. He's had other obsessions, and I'll describe more as we go on, but my 8th grade year was SodaStream. SodaStream is this kit of bottles and carbonation machine which allows you to make your own soda. According to my dad, this was much healthier, and he was all about finding new ways to lose weight without actually having to diet or exercise regularly. Hence the excessive amounts of yogurt. He would make about 10 sodas a day and drink them all in one day. As you can see, he's not one for moderation. It was very normal to walk in our house and hear "psh" over and over because he was making his own soda. Living with these things, you don't realize they're weird or abnormal because you're desensitized to it. You're young, and this is coming from a person you're supposed to trust, so why question it? And then you feel like you're crazy because you're so irritated by it, but it's normal for you. During this time, it was just my mom and I living with my dad. My mom was now working in Ypsilanti, and my father soon found a job in Livonia. They both had long commutes, so our days started early and ended later in the day. Looking at my parents, my mom was more tired than ever, but happy to have such a great job outside of her previous profession, and my dad looked blank, as if his essence had been on a vacation and he was running on instinct. I was so proud of my mom. She reinvented herself and found a job that she was good at, and one that she was just as passionate about as preaching. I didn't know what to think of my dad. He was slowly becoming more erratic, loving my mom for her new job, pushing me to make my mom move us all closer to their jobs, complaining more and more about my mom, and his emotions didn't make any sense. When he was sad or angry, which seemed to be his only emotions besides nothingness, it felt like they were just spewing out at random, like someone else was pushing the buttons. My life at this time was very lonely. My siblings were gone, my friends were gone, strangers already disliked me for whatever reason, except for a select few. I was home alone all day, and I could feel myself getting weaker from the inside. I didn't sleep except for midday naps. I felt numb every time I would go to school or was around my parents. The anxiety I already had was weighing on my heart more and more every day. Like I couldn't breathe. I'd have outbursts of anger at school. I don't even remember what they were about. Most of the time I'd ignore everyone because trying to be okay was just too hard. Sometimes I'd call home sick just to get away from it all. I would cry once I got home, every day, for months, because I didn't know what to do. How could I make my home life better? How could I face these people who have such hatred for me? How could I feel good about myself when all I hear is negativity? Depression wasn't even a word in my vocabulary, but it did consume my whole life. I had a roof over my head, clean clothes, my own clothes finally, food to eat, I had two parents, no one was beating on me, I wasn't being sexually abused, so how could I have depression? Depression is for people with real problems, and I was obviously fine. It was like I was going crazy. Was I overreacting to it all? It's not like I didn't have friends, but they didn't know all the pain I was carrying around. They didn't know how sad and angry and confused I was. Besides the fact that once a month my period would attack me in ways that left it hard to walk normally. Being a preteen is the hardest time in anyone's life, but add in everything I had going on, I was pissed. So pissed it made me sad. At some point, it felt as though I was just floating through the days, hardly taking in what was around me. Floating through church and orchestra on Sundays, ghosting through German and geometry, then history, English, science, lunch, symphonic band, jazz, an intoxicating bus ride, and finally passing out on the couch to forget everything, with only a sad dog to keep you company. Each class after German was full of people who had a lot to say about me, for whatever reason. Ending my day with music was a saving grace. No matter what happened that day, I could pick up my saxophone and fill it with all my emotions and blast out a sick-ass tune. Music has always been there for me, whether it be orchestra playing an instrument that I couldn't hide my anxiety, church hymns sung out of tune, classic rock songs my brother put on my MP3 player, pop songs my sister introduced me to, typical band anthems, jazz poems, singing in the shower, my guilty pleasure of Broadway musicals, alternative music a good friend showed me during lunch, or classic melodies turned into marching band songs. They were always there to fill me up, express what I couldn't. Your mom is ruining my life. You're not even pretty. She thinks she's so cool, but she's just a loser. I can't believe she's dating him. She's so stupid, it's not even funny. Why is she always wearing sweatshirts? Hideous. Look at her, she's shaking during the presentation. She's such a bitch. I hate her. I want to fix my marriage. There was a day I couldn't hold in my frustration anymore. It was time for church, and I scream-cried at my mother. I resented her for making me stay with violin and go to church. Neither of them made me happy. They added to my anger. In church, I had to sit still listening to people preach things I didn't even know if I believed, all while I was screaming on the inside. When I played violin, I only felt the shame of my shaking hands as I held my fingers on the strings. I didn't feel the joy it once brought me. I wasn't in a church I recognized, and it felt like I didn't have a choice, like I had to be this character that wasn't me. It felt like my mom wanted me to be a completely different person, and I just yelled that I hated church and I hated violin, and I just couldn't do it anymore, and tears streaming down my face, and I couldn't even face her because I was so anxious about how that would make her feel, because I so desperately did not want her to feel bad or angry or all the things that I was feeling. In simpler terms, I'm not a smooth ballad. I'm a rock anthem with the passion of four Broadway soloists. My mom only wanted a consistent and happy lifestyle for me. I don't blame her. Nothing about our lives was simple or easy. Every morning would start with my father taking me, and sometimes my bestie, to school. If she wasn't with me, he would complain at me the whole ride. When he came home from work, he would try to force my mom to kiss him or attempt to grope her. He would mutter insults about my mom under his breath when he did the dishes, slam the dishes around, especially while he ate. He would stand right behind you if you were in the way, or slowly push you out of the way so it didn't seem like he was being mean. He'd tell me to tell my mom to sit next to him or whatever else he wanted from her that day, as if I could coerce my mom. My mom would brush these behaviors off, hoping I didn't notice, but I did. So much so that I purposely tried to hide in my room as much as possible. The worst things my dad did were small, but they were every day, and there were so many. It makes you feel like you're the one going slowly insane. I'm just gonna say it. I wanted to die. My depression hit an all-time low. I didn't know what to do. I felt lost in a haze of nothingness, and I couldn't see a way out. I was scared of facing high school with all this baggage. I didn't know how to feel like a real person, to feel like I could succeed in life or ever feel normal. I wasn't normal. I was trying to cope with depression, anxiety, a mentally ill father, and the criticism of my peers. By the end of my torturous eighth grade year, I went to church camp. I was planning on making that my last big hurrah. I didn't know what I'd do, but I heard pills could be fatal. One day during the week of my Jesus summer adventures, the counselors put on a play. The play was about a girl battling with a lot of hard problems and finding peace in the arms of God. That's great and all, but I wasn't a die-hard Jesus maniac. When they were done, they invited everyone to the front if they felt like they had a problem back home, and the counselors would pray over it. I refused to stand up from my seat. I insisted that I didn't have any problems, my life was fine, and I didn't need anyone to pray over it. My cabin mates got me to stand anyways, and I shit you not, one by one, everyone in the room started crying. It was the most bizarre thing, like we were all feeling each other's pain at once. At that moment, I locked eyes with my best friend who had joined me on this PG woodsy excursion, and we hugged each other, both sobbing along with everyone else. We spent hours crying and being prayed over with the few others who had also stayed that long. As weird as that all was, I realized that I didn't want to end it all. If all these people were feeling the same thing, I wasn't alone in it all. The rest of the week, I spent talking to my cabin mates and counselors about how shitty my year had been. Sounds cheesy, but they saved my life. I want to say that they weren't the only ones who made an impact. My German class group of friends, my stand partner, my close friend with the alternative music taste and attitude that just won't quit, and my mom all helped me get through the year, whether they realized it or not. They will always hold a special place in my heart, and as much as my best friend and I had problems, I don't hate her. I cut her off after that year and she moved away. I didn't hear from her until like 3 years later. She had reinvented herself and apologized repeatedly. I'm so proud of her. She became a better person and is now thriving. All in all, my eighth grade year sucked ass, but it's not where this story ends. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening.